And we continue with today's topic and really working through greatness through leadership. The scripture for this talks about, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Let's bow for prayer. Father, open our hearts, help us to hear your voice, not mine, and we'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. As we're walking through this, it's a really interesting topic as we talk about leadership from a Christian perspective. And it's really, there's a lot of leadership principles that are transferable from secular leadership to really to the church and to godly or Christian leadership. And so that's part. But there's something else that's very significant that we would understand, because in some ways, God's perspective on leadership is a little different, and especially as we would look at greatness in God's perspective. And so as we try to understand greatness in God's perspective, I think it's probably best described as an oxymoron. And so as we try to think about that, you think about some of those. I have a list of those here. Virtual reality, pretty ugly, exact estimate, original copy, living dead, civil war, old news, jumbo shrimp, clever fool, act naturally, rolling stop, only choice. Now, I want you to think about those kind of oxymorons in Scripture that are talked about that help us to understand that perspective as well. And they may be, you know, seek first his kingdom and then all the other things are added. Hold on to your life and you'll lose it. Win by surrender. Strength in weakness. First will be last. Die to live. And to be born again, you must die first. Now, when you think about all of that, you think, greatness in God's perspective is so different. Now, if you look at the message in the book, it talks about the fact that really the disciples were following Jesus, and they really didn't grasp all of this. It was all kind of new to them in their minds, and they were still working through these concepts and trying to understand exactly what God was, or what Jesus was trying to communicate to them. And we see Jesus had an inner circle. It was Peter, James, and John. And they were mostly the ones that he would take with him. Interestingly enough, James and John would have been cousins. Their mother would have been his aunt. And so James and John came up to Jesus along with their mom and wanted to be first in the kingdom and be sitting on the right and on the left. And they asked if they could have those seats. Well, interestingly, as Jesus responds, he didn't cave to the pressure. That was greatness, especially when his aunt was there putting the pressure on to be able to have one of her sons be on either side. But he kind of turned it around with questions. One of the things that you find often, and I think it's a great tactic, Jesus often answers a question with a question. And that kind of is triggering thought and making them go a little bit deeper and a little bit more in their thoughts. And so that's exactly what he does at that point. And I suppose James and John, sons of thunder, as their nickname was, I think they were maybe trying to get ahead of Peter, because, you know, Peter was always the one who spoke first, and he was always that first one out. And so kind of thinking about that, probably because Peter, James, and John being together, they kind of thought, you know, we may not get that, and so they were kind of jumping in. Now, all the other disciples were really angry at this. Now, they weren't really just angry at the thought of somebody asking. They were angry that they might not get the place themselves. And so they really didn't grasp what greatness was in God's perspective as of yet. So the scripture says, "But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant." We don't usually link the leader and the servant together. That's just not how we in a worldly culture would think about that. But we see that, and he says, and whoever wants to be first among you must be slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So first, we understand that biblical leadership is defined differently than cultural leadership. And it's an important thing that we would understand when we're looking at that. There's just a certain aspect of how we understand what is a biblical leadership and what does that mean? How would that be defined? Ed Stetzer says it this way, Christian leadership is a process of influencing a community to use their God-given gifts toward a goal and a purpose as led by the Holy Spirit. Probably Ephesians 4 would be kind of played out in that if you kind of look that up and follow there. That's very close to that. Biblical leadership is better described as servant leadership. And that's kind of an oxymoron when you kind of put these two together. And yet, the more we understand how God operates, the more that makes sense to us. And in some place, I think it was in the 80s, 90s, that servant leadership became kind of a buzz term and was talked about. Well, it's not just talked about, it was lived out by Jesus. He was the incredible example of all of that. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you, you must be your servant. So first, before we can really be a godly leader, we have to be a servant first. You can't really understand what it's like to lead unless you've had to serve. And so that serving aspect teaches each one of us how we can be able to be more a better leader and certainly a godly leader. Now, a servant is all about the attitude. And leadership is all about responsibility. So when we try to think of these two, and you put servant leadership together, it's not power. Now that's a worldly perspective on leadership. I have more power. It's really, I have more responsibility. And so as we understand, the more that you have godly leadership, and the more godly leadership God entrusts you with, the more responsibility you have. But it can't be accomplished in a godly manner unless there's an attitude of servanthood that goes with it. So if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Now, if you look at Romans 12, you would see he lists seven different spiritual gifts that are there. And each of those spiritual gifts, he talks about those. And each one of us, when you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have a spiritual gift. Or many, but you have at least one. And you could look at these seven, you could know that you have at least one of those seven as well. Maybe more, but at least one. And if your spiritual gift is leadership, then you take that responsibility. And so that's the whole idea. When you have leadership, it encumbers responsibility. Leaders are called to a number of things. And as we look at that, we see how God works. I think this is an important thing that I wanted to share with you, because when we think about what leadership is in the world versus leadership within the kingdom, we see those differently. And sometimes leaders in the kingdom of God are not recognized by the world standard, but they will be remembered much longer. Let me share this with you. I think it's a great illustration. In Yorkshire, in England, during the early 1800s, two sons were born to a family named Taylor. The older one set out to make a name for himself by entering Parliament and gaining public prestige. But the younger son chose to give his life to Christ. He committed his life to serving God, and with that commitment, Hudson Taylor serve the Lord in China. As a result, he is known and honored on every continent as a faithful missionary and the founder of the China Inland Mission, now known as Overseas Missionary Fellowship. For the other son, which you don't know his name. However, there is no lasting monument. When you look in the encyclopedia to see what the other son has done, you find these words, the brother of Hudson Taylor. When we are in God's kingdom, what the leadership that is accomplished is eternal. It's longer lasting. Its impact is significant. So leaders are called, first of all, to lead. If no one is following a leader, John Maxwell always says, you're just taking a walk. And that's exactly right. You've got to have followers to be a leader. And so that's one of the first things. Scripture says, this is a trustworthy saying, if someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. So aspires. So there can be that desire within you to be a leader. And that is part of what God would put in one. And especially if he's given you a spiritual gift of leadership, then you need to see how God will use that in the kingdom and leading. The second thing that one needs to do as a leader is to model. So we see this so clearly in Jesus. He modeled servanthood. He modeled leadership. And that's why Paul says this, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. That means you have to be comfortable with people watching you and imitating. They have to see something desirable in you that they would like to reproduce in them, or otherwise it's not going to happen. Now, we don't just follow anyone, but as long as they're following Christ, we do, and we can understand. Now, you have to know Scripture, and you have to know Christ to know if they're following him. So it's really an important journey as you're walking through this to understand how you need to model Christ in front of the world around you. Third thing that a leader needs to do, a servant leader, is to pray. So there needs to be that importance of prayer in your life. Prayer that you're really putting yourself in the place where God can speak to you, where he can use you, he can work through you. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. He often withdrew. If Jesus needed to pray, who are we that we wouldn't need that as a part of our lives? And so there's an importance of understanding. As a spiritual leader, then that comes into play as well. Fourth is learn. And so we need to always be a learner. That's, to me, is always an exciting thing when there's more to learn, there's more to study, there's more to discover. That's an important part. And I really feel it's a lifelong calling for each of us, like to continue learning. Where am I going to discover more about what God is telling me? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's that learning process. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so this learning process is always ongoing, because I have to keep changing the way I think. You see, I have a natural thought that comes to me, but to get a supernatural thought, which is the spiritual thought, that's usually the second thing that comes to me. And so I've got to be able to get to a point where I can start letting the supernatural be the first rather than the second. And that happens by continuing to change the way I think and learning to know God's will for my life. And the last thing is love. We model a spiritual leader. We model love as well and demonstrate that. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. When we come into a relationship with Christ, then His Holy Spirit comes in us, we have God living in us. That means God is love, or we could say God equals love. That means because I have God in me, there's love in me. And I have to make sure I'm demonstrating that to the world around me as well. Now, there's some things about a godly leader that we can be able to look at and we can be able to see. One, a godly leader seeks to glorify God by how he lives. So I'm focusing on how do I glorify God? Everything I do, whatever I do, needs to make sure it's showing that kind of model. Those who speak for themselves want glory only for themselves, but a person who seeks to honor the one who sent him speaks truth, not lies. And so I'm going to make sure that I'm going to glorify God by my life, by how I live. So my leadership should honor God. That's basically what it needs to do. Now, also, it gains its highest leadership or highest joy by serving others. And so we find that that's exactly the model that Jesus gave to us. He served others. And so greatness in the kingdom of God is not being served, but it's serving. You know, when we are, and there's kind of a mixed up system, because a lot of times, even Christian leaders, they tend to start borrowing the world's perspective for leadership. I've been one that I never really felt that you should, as a leader, a spiritual leader or a godly leader, you should have your own parking space. I always feel that you should be in, you know, be serving, not in a position where you should be served. I don't like a head table. I don't like to be the person who's being served. I'd rather be serving. And that's what I really believe, that where we find our greatest joy and our highest joy is by serving others. And so godly leadership wants to do that. Now, knowing this, I'm convinced I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. This was Paul. And Paul was certainly a great example of a godly leader who served. And we see that time and time again. Also, a godly leader desires for the gospel to be seen in him more than his own self. So I don't want people to see me and glorify me. I want them to see God in me and glorify God. And so that's an important part of that. It's not to be seen. And if we can kind of filter that out, we would say, we don't worry about who gets the credit. Because see, when I worry about who gets the credit, I want to be seen for me. And I don't know if you've ever done something that you were really pleased that you did it or are happy about it, and then they gave the credit to somebody else. And you probably have to go, okay, it doesn't matter. And you kind of let it go. Because we desire for the gospel to be seen more than ourselves. And that's a journey we're all learning and growing. Even though I'm free, a free man with no master, I've become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. Paul wrote that as well in Corinthians, telling us, what's the real goal here? The real goal is bringing people to Christ. And so that's what I really want to do. That's what's really important. As we look, a godly leader is not preoccupied with his own personal visibility or recognition, but that of Christ first. So it's not about me, it's about God in me. And so we all have to be reminded of these things, because what happens is we can get into our own little bubble sometimes and forget what it's really like to be a servant and how God wants us to be, have Christ be seen in us. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. These were John the Baptist. These were his words. I am not the Messiah. I'm only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. You see, what was happening is all the disciples were now going after Jesus instead of following John. And so it's like, hey, how do you feel about that? You're kind of losing all your disciples. Are you okay with this? What does he say? Yeah, I am filled with joy at his success. So we have to start adapting a mindset that is, how is this in the kingdom? And how is Jesus being honored by this? A godly leader anticipates and accepts the time for his decrease as an expression of his humility. What did John say? He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Are you ready to be less? Are you ready for God to be greater? That means it's going to be less of you, more of him. That can be painful. It can be painful. But that's what he's calling us to. He's calling us to a life of a servant leader that has less of me and more of God. A godly leader is also a shepherd. This is an interesting concept as we talk about shepherding. Sheep are very dumb. And it's really interesting that we're called like sheep. And sheep without a shepherd would just be lost. We would have no place. We wouldn't know where to go. We wouldn't have a purpose. We wouldn't, you know. They say sheep can, if they don't have a fence and they're not guided, they could just chew themselves and eat themselves right off a cliff. Because, like, they just don't see. So it wasn't really a compliment to be called sheep, just so you know. We could have been called lots of other animals, and that would have been very nice. This wasn't. But it tells us how dependent upon the shepherd we are, and how much we need a shepherd, and how much we need a godly leader in our lives to give us that kind of direction. And he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. So I have to be willing to lead. As a leader, I am thankful we have a leader who was a good shepherd. But God calls us as shepherds to also be leaders. He calls us to feed our sheep. He calls us to nurture our sheep, care for them. He calls us to comfort them when that comes in a time of need and hurt and pain. He calls us to correct the sheep. And there are times when we see Jesus was very clear and very directive in correcting the sheep. And we also know that there's a protection to protect the sheep that's a part of that. All those things are a part of a good shepherd and what the care that needs to be given. The true leader, I thought these were some great quotes that I wanted to share with you. The true leader regards the welfare of others rather than his own comfort and prestige as a primary concern. Oswald Chambers has some incredible writings. Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. Thinking about that, that really puts all of us into that category that we're all influencing someone. The only definition of a leader is someone who has followers. Leadership is a capacity to translate vision into reality. Here are 10 tough questions that leaders must ask. Came across these as I was studying, and I thought they are great questions for all of us to keep in front of us. Scripture says, among leaders who lack insight, abuse abounds. But for one who hates corruption, the future is bright. Proverbs 28:16. If you think you know it all, you're a fool for sure. Real survivors learn wisdom from others. Proverbs is full of wisdom. In fact, there are 31 chapters. You could read one chapter a day for 31 days in a month, start over the next month and read them again. I can't even tell you how many years that Sharon and I have read those together, but it's a great way of bringing wisdom to your thoughts. Here are the questions. Do I realize it is impossible to glorify Christ and myself at the same time? So lead with humility. Do I lead to win over people or to win souls? Lead with purpose. Because that's my greatest purpose, is to help bring people to Christ. Am I doing the things I'm asking others to do? Lead with integrity. I shouldn't be asking anyone else to do something that I'm not willing to do myself or that I haven't done. I can remember someone locally, as far as a hotel, they told me when people have started there, no matter what level of leadership, they've asked everyone to do every job that is there, from cleaning the toilets to serving to leading, because that gives you a full understanding of the whole picture and what's needed. Do I pray as if nothing of eternal value will happen in their lives of others unless God does it? Lead with prayer. Am I touching the hearts of those I lead? Lead with transformation. What's it like to be on the other side of me? Lead with authenticity. Do others experience God's love through me? Lead with love. Am I making others better around me? Lead with serving. Do I seek personal gain through people I lead or serve them like Christ served the church? Lead with sacrifice. Am I allowing my leadership to produce the fruit of the Spirit in others? Lead with excellence. But among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Those questions, I hope you'll keep those close. Don't just answer them quickly. Take them into your prayer closet. Talk to God about those. Let them be some way that you can help you understand that your leading is really bringing honor to God. Let me pray with you in closing. Father, it's our heart's desire to be servant leaders, to really experience greatness in the kingdom by both attitude and responsibility that would really exemplify Christ. So, Father, we ask that you would help us in this journey more and more, that Christ would be seen in us, our motives pure, our heart in a right relationship, our desire that Jesus would be seen in us. We give you thanks for all you do. In Christ's name, amen. May God bless. We're glad that you've joined us.